Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The foundation of any society is the family, because families produce the next generation. Making marriage work lies at the bedrock, and this requires understanding the roles and responsibilities of husband and wife. Today, more on those roles. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a 10-part series on fighting for your family. We're in the book of Genesis as Dr. Lutzer comes with more of rebuilding the foundations.
Adam is created first. Adam is given the command in verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it, to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may surely eat of the tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for the day that you eat thereof you shall die." God didn't tell Eve that. Now, obviously, Adam told Eve that, as we find in the next chapter, but God says, "This is to you, Adam, because you have ultimate responsibility for your wife," all the way through this passage. Then God creates the animals, and what does God do? He brings to Adam the birds of the heaven and animals of the field, and whatever the man called them, this is verse 19, last part of the verse, whatever the man called them, that was its name. That indicates his authority. In the Old Testament, you see, the ability to name something or someone shows your authority. So Adam here has authority over all the beasts. He calls them and names them. Then, of course, as you know, the rest of the story, Adam falls asleep. God chooses to create femininity out of masculinity. God takes a rib and he creates the woman. And you'll notice that he looks to the man now and says, "What are you going to call her? You also have authority here." And it is Adam who says, this is verse 23, "is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man." So God says, "Okay, that's what you call her. That's what she will be." Adam has ultimate responsibility. Men and women equal in value. The woman's role is going to be incredibly important. She is going to be a suitable helpmeet for him. But in the order of authority, she is to work with him, and he has ultimate responsibility for her before God. Now, I can imagine somebody says, "Oh, wow, how are you preaching this?" Well, first of all, it's in God's word. Thank you very much. But also, why is it that there is such a massive attack against this in our culture? Massive attack. Well, one of the reasons is because people confuse ability with roles. You see, people are saying, "Well, you mean women are inferior? You know, why can't there be women elders? I know some women who know the Bible better, and they're better Bible teachers than elders." And we say, "Yeah, we're not arguing with that. We're not arguing about a woman's intelligence, her abilities." Let me speak to you very plainly. I think I have so far, and it's even going to get plainer as we go along. I think that Margaret Thatcher is probably the greatest prime minister that Britain ever had since the days of Winston Churchill. Now, you can disagree with me politically, and then later on, forgive me for your views, but apparently there are some people there who agree with me. Look at that Iron Lady, the way she ruled Britain. And anyone question her leadership ability? But when she gets home, she has a responsibility to compliment her husband in terms of what she is doing, to encourage her husband. She has to be a helpmeet for him in the home, because someday when they stand before God, she will be accountable, but her husband is going to be the one who is going to be accountable for the way in which he led his wife spiritually and the way in which he brought up his children. The responsibility will be on his head and not hers. Responsibility for her, yes, we'll see this in the text, but not ultimate responsibility like her husband is going to have. So that even in a relationship like that, she is to complement her husband, to support him emotionally, spiritually, physically, in whichever way she can, within the structure of the home and the bringing up of the children. And then the Bible makes it very clear the same kind of principle applies also to the church. So obviously women have abilities. And may I say this, that in the early church, women oftentimes took a role that is even greater than some of our evangelical churches, but always the Bible says that even when it comes to teaching, she should not usurp the authority of the man. There's nothing wrong with being in subjection. After all, Margaret Thatcher herself was in subjection to the Constitution of Great Britain. We are in subjection to the laws of our country and the laws of our land. We are all subject in some manner to one another, and this is the teaching of the Bible. The ultimate responsibility is to man, and she's to be a suitable helpmeet for him. Let me give you another reason why there's so much confusion and resistance, and that is because of the misunderstanding of the meaning of the word submit. You say, and that's taught in the New Testament, you say submit. I can imagine some woman saying, oh, so you want me to be his doormat so that he can wipe his feet on me and I'm supposed to submit. So let me speak to your heart, first of all, and tell you, no, that's not at all the teaching of the Bible. You see, the very reason that when God created the woman, he took her out of the side of the man and not out of his feet was so that people would understand she's not to be under his feet to trample her. She is created out of his side so that she can walk with him through life. And in walking with him through life as his partner, walking together. The imagery is not that of a servant and a master. And the Bible is so beautifully nuanced at this point. Even though it uses the word submit, nowhere in the Bible does it say that a man can demand submission from his wife. You're a Christian woman. You have to submit to me. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. But it does have some very clear instructions to men. Full-time job, actually. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Honor your wives that your prayers be not hindered. That's the responsibility of the man. Normally, unless a woman has been deeply hurt by men and therefore has a lot of unresolved anger, most of the time in that kind of a situation, she will submit. But as time goes on, I have to help you to understand this, that when I talk about submission, it's not master-slave. In fact, the Bible talks about men also submitting to their wives. It is a mutual kind of submission. It is the kind of submission where they are one together. I'll tell you, I don't use the word fool often, but I am today. You know, I'm in a good mood. Do you notice that today? I'm on a roll. I'm just going to keep going and then pick up the pieces later. Husband, you are a fool if you do not communicate with your wife about important decisions that need to be made. I'll tell you something. God, yeah, you can even clap if you want here. God often has led me through the wisdom of Rebecca. While I have ultimate responsibility for her and the kids before God, she is a wise woman. And furthermore, not only is she a wise woman, whom God has often used to give us guidance, but the Bible talks about a kind of submission, about meeting people's needs. I have to say this about Rebecca, that in the years that we have been married, she has spent a lot more time and energy meeting my needs than I have meeting hers, and I say that to my shame. But you know, there are couples today where they're not meeting each other's needs. They're not caring. I've met husbands or wives, and my husband doesn't care. We live under the same roof, but we're not together in anything. And by the way, the division of responsibility in the Bible between husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, is not entirely clear. And that's for a purpose, because every family is different. For example, does she always do the cooking? Well, I thought I'd just throw this out here at no extra cost, but you know, when Abraham and Sarah, when they had visitors, And by the way, Sarah called Abraham Lord. Still waiting for... I'm an old man. I've not heard it yet. Sarah called Abraham Lord. And you know what? When the visitors came, Abraham was out there helping her prepare the meal. They prepared it together. I thought I'd let that float out there. Rather than thinking about this is yours, of course there has to be a division of labor. But why not do everything that you possibly can together? Now there's something else I have to say about this submission. Since it's such a controversial word, it is a discerning submission. Discerning. A wife does not say, even if my husband asks me to do something immoral or illegal, I have to do it. Why? Because the wife, the Christian wife, realizes that she has an obligation to Jesus, which is even greater than the obligation to her husband. And so there are wives today around the world who are Christians whose husbands are totally opposed to their faith. The wife shouldn't give up her relationship with Jesus, but she has to learn under the good hand of God and by grace how to exercise still her wifely functions of support and being a helpmate, even though she retains her faith. And that's one of the struggles that happens all around the world. And we must recognize that it's a discerning type of submission to God. Now, the point to be made is simply this, that there is today a huge attack on the relationships that I've just been telling you about. You know, then there's another attack. This attack against femininity and masculinity is so huge today that there have been people who have said, oh, you know, there's fundamentally no difference between a man and a woman. You know, if we gave little girls trucks, they'd just play like boys. And if we gave boys dolls, they'd be feeding them and they'd be caring for them. Rebecca and I were at a meeting in Nashville a couple of months ago, and Dennis Prager was speaking about this, and he named a professor who believed that. And in order to test it, he decided that he would give these little girls some trucks, just to prove that if they had trucks, they were going to act just like boys. So he came back a while later, and one of the little girls said, "Shh, shh, we put blankets on the trucks and they're sleeping." Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. God has created us as man and as woman. Femininity and masculinity. That's why this message is so important, and it's really part of a larger series of messages entitled Fighting for the Family. I believe very deeply it is important for us to face the issues that are tearing families apart. Thanks so much for joining us today, and I want you to stay tuned for some very important information, and I'll see you right here next time.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. We're hearing Rebuilding the Foundations, the first of 10 messages on fighting for your family. Next time on Running to Win, more on why some people deny fundamental gender differences. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. Fighting for Your Family is a video series with a helpful discussion guide for small groups. The DVDs and the guide will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.